What's up, all you freaks and disasters, by which I mean people with kindness, empathy, and a conscience, because you are a freaking disaster if you try to get along in the corporate world. Hey, I'm Nate Houseman, your guide to the 21st century, and we got to talk about the media meltdown, the continuing decline, death, deathbed, cancer that the establishment media is just wallowing in. I'm going to read this article on the Gateway Pundit in its entirety here because it's so good. But we got to look at the fact that just days after CBS broke records with viewership records with the Super Bowl, it announced layoffs. Its parent company, Paramount, has trimmed the fat somewhere. So it's cutting out the news division. It's cutting out a whole lot of production. And it's not the only company that's doing that. So if you find this content valuable, please give it a thumbs up on whatever platform you're watching it on, Rumble, YouTube, Odyssey, Podcast, Twitter, or Meta. Share it with your friends and loved ones and subscribe. So, and there are a couple ways you can support this channel. You can support this program. One, I got some affiliate links that I think you'll really appreciate here. One of them is with The Wellness Company. I'm very excited and very proud to be a partner of this great group. Dr. Peter McCullough and his colleagues, they've been at the forefront of trying to get people back to normal after they've taken the COVID jab. I was bullied into it by family members and my doctor at the major hospital clinic, she played the good cop and got me to take it. I've only taken the first two shots. I've taken none of the boosters. I'm going to be okay because I've taken supplements from this company and I've also, done my research and eat some good stuff like eggs, pineapple, all the stuff that, real experts have studied through and provided evidence for. I'm going to be okay. And I pray, I listen to God, and he tells me I'm going to be okay. So the best justice, the best revenge we can get on these bastards is success, healing, and one of the ways you can do that is supporting the Wellness Company. They're trying to set up an alternative to the medical establishment. All the hospitals and that are bloated with administrative costs, administrative overhead, insurance, Obamacare. They offer virtual care. You can see a doctor online through their network. And they've got these med kits in case of an emergency. And I'm sorry to say that's a great possibility with all the military-aged men crossing our southern border. And they got a whole lot of supplements, including stuff for the COVID jab, also to help your immune system, daily essentials, help your brain, digestion, metabolism, help you with sleep. They got lots of good stuff. I take it. I'm doing great with it. And if you click on the link and use the promo code in the description, you can save, I think, 10%. I'm not off the top of my head. I think it's either 10 or 15%. But if you become a member, you've got lots of benefits. So do yourself a favor. Take advantage. And also, this is an offer I'm making to my fellow creators on YouTube, Rumble, whatever. It really helps to have a website. And if everyone's having trouble, monetizing on YouTube because their algorithms are so capricious. You really need to have a business attached to your channel, to your podcast. And I can help you with that with my own company of one. Zippo Flood Marketing is a business I've been running since 2015, 2016. I incorporated in 2016, but I've been doing freelance web design work before that. But I, in my network of white label providers, we'll make you a website and offer you online advertising and SEO work. I got monthly plans here, but if you need another monetization option, I have a referral program. So if you know businesses in your area, business owners, marketers who can, benefit from a website, there's so much you can do with a website besides just market yourself. You can do lots of tasks with it. If you know someone in that position, I have a referral affiliate program of my own. So click on the link here, become a referral partner, and make some money for yourself. All, you know, you'll get 15% of whatever they pay out. And they will get it. They will get the discount. When everybody wins. So take advantage. I only offer you programs and resources and business links that I use myself and that I think will help you in these weird, crazy economic times. So if we can hang on until the next election and when we, you know, inaugurate someone who is truly elected after we clean up the election systems, we'll be okay. So go ahead and do yourself a favor. Click on the links in the description of this video and let's get to it. So I want to read this article by the Gateway Pundit in its entirety. The lesson of Tucker Carlson's Vladimir Putin interview for independent journalism. The significance of Tucker Carlson's interview last week with Russian President Vladimir Putin cannot be overstated. It spans beyond just the immediate geopolitical crisis in Eastern Europe. The long-term sustainability of NATO or even Russian-American relations more broadly. At its core, Carlson has set the stage of his career transformed into something of an evangelist for the true meaning of freedom of the press. In saner times, no serious journalist would make the unsophisticated assumption that merely looking to sit down for an interview with the president of a major superpower and trading partner constituted an act of treason, as so many talking heads on MSNBC, CNN, the New York Times editorial page wants you to think. Instead, the virtues that used to animate professional journalists to do their jobs well by asking questions that go beyond the surface level about why things are the way they are would be a barometer for competency and effectiveness. These are the things, driven by curiosity, that motivated Carlson to interview Putin. Now, I take issue with this paragraph because the news has always been fake. We just ripped the mask off in the last few years. Trump ripped the mask off the moment he came down the escalator in 2015. I mean, we're not giving them the benefit of the doubt anymore. The news was always fake. Just look at Walter Duranty way back when he was being wined and dined by Stalin and ignoring all of his atrocities. So, continuing. It was not because Carlson is a Putin sympathizer or an asset of the Russian government, both inordinately stupid accusations, that drove his mission, but simply because Carlson is a professional journalist who takes his craft seriously. He's someone who follows his basic curiosity to better understand why the world is unfolding in a certain way. He appears to be also deeply troubled by the small-minded thinking, so common nowadays in Washington, I think it's always been common, that too frequently overwhelms more rational and indeed straightforward decisions regarding foreign policy. Our society's failure to be driven by the principles that make free speech and a free press possible in the first place has led to a series of foreign policy catastrophes, each one seemingly after another. Over the several decades now, has cost hundreds of thousands of innocent American lives, irresponsible decision-making that continues arguably worse than ever today. A huge component of America's political crisis can be explained by a failure of communication. This failure prevents any chance of level-headed conversation that should lead to reasonable solutions, many of which are based on common sense, from coming to fruition. More often than not, practical solutions irrevocably break down into feline hysterics and paranoia so commonly seen in today's chaotic media environment. The result of this has been near suicidal for our society. The effects of a weaponized justice system against the leading presidential candidate, the elevation of a senile man to the nation's highest office, and the world order moving unnervingly close to all-out nuclear warfare are each directly traceable to this fundamental breakdown. Well, I think there's an even deeper problem than just, you know, media malpractice. I think it's psychological. Narcissistic personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, psychopathy, Machiavellianism, these are disorders that have been with us since Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. I mean, this is part of human nature that we're finally coming to grips with. And we have let, you know, these people, these individuals without any conscience have snuck their way into powerful positions. We can't have honest conversation. If you've ever been in a toxic relationship with someone who's abusive, like a family member, a romantic partner, a toxic employer, a toxic workplace, a toxic, you know, government office, you understand that something, you understand what the dynamic here. We cannot have honest discussions. As it stands, one half of Washington truly believes that we are still in 1980 and that Putin oversees a country whose large size can easily make one forget its economy is smaller than the state of Texas is Joseph Stalin reincarnated, which is a slightly less insane verdict than the other side of the dial, which believes that Putin really is literally Adolf Hitler. Some of this may be explained by the reality that huge swaths of our current ruling class are indeed children, were indeed children at the time both Stalin and Hitler ruled the world. Plus, their confusion of what century we are in is part attributable to their advanced senility. But the axiomatic fixation on World War II era tropes, paired with the morality of the 60s, which expired some 80 years ago, the same time when the war ended, proves woefully inadequate as a heuristic to make decisions about war and peace in modern times. Time after time, our oversimplified World War II Hollywood gauge for assessing world affairs has proven not just dumb, but dangerous. Yeah, Hollywood, that's key here. I've said in another video, which I'm going to post later, Hollywood is dying and social media is taking its place. Technology is taking its place. The propagandists of the deep state are trading one form of human mind control for another. That's kind of the just I'm going to make in this later in this video. But yeah, Hollywood is kaput, and anyone who's clinging to the old Hollywood myth-making is either a boomer or they're just not paying attention. Tucker Carlson readily understands this. This is why he's the only one in his profession in recent years who decided to physically travel to this supposed enemy land in Russia. This allows him to collect new data and update the set of assumptions he uses to understand Putin's motives for annexing part of Ukraine. Any skilled negotiator, and this is what separated Donald Trump from other politicians, knows to ask questions, to listen carefully, and only speak when necessary to get the best possible understanding of your adversary, which in turn allows you to make the best possible decisions for your country. This is the time-tested formula that almost always leads to constructive results. Past statesmen understood these lessons intuitively. In our age of a senile resident and a vice resident whose understanding of the world would be embarrassing for a fourth-grade classroom, results in a situation that demands more and more Americans, journalists especially, but even just everyday people, follow Carlson's lead, and boldly proclaim the truth as they see it. The Russia-Ukraine war stands as the best example of a crisis that could have been entirely avoided if America had made even the slightest effort to try to understand the other side. This would have resulted in a negotiated peace. Carlson was correct to say on his international sojourn that America, for its many problems, remains the most powerful country in the history of the world. America has the means to come to a negotiated settlement and enough might to avoid resorting to that use of arms that we have seen with increasing frequency all throughout Biden's term. Carlson recently antagonized the United States as the father figure on the world stage. This is true. We have the power to avoid war in most cases. To the extent we cannot avoid armed conflict in every circumstance, we have means to end wars that do break out, usually swiftly and in a way that mitigates both lives lost and economic costs like record-breaking inflation. One of the reasons Trump was so effective in negotiating peace deals was he understood economics. He understood how to get his way economically, monetarily. You know, when he said Mexico would pay for the border wall, he meant that you would apply tariffs to Mexico. They would pay those tariffs to the benefit of the U.S. Other countries place tariffs on us. It's only right that we use the same tool against them. Think how much, you know, abuse could be stopped if we applied economic pressure rather than violence. You know, Putin would never have needed to attack Ukraine if NATO hadn't pushed so far into its sphere, you know. And other people have chronicled that Ukraine really does not have a real government. It's a puppet government that was installed by U.S. deep state flags, notably Victoria Nuland. So there. Where was I? Okay. Today we are observing the disastrous effects of that awesome power being mishandled. Power irresponsibly placed in the hands of incompetent leadership. This amounts to failure of America's fatherly role. We have totally abandoned our duty to the world. Instead of giving into emotionalism over clear-headed sobriety, operating not like a dutiful father, but like a scorned woman instead. Putin understands his country's role, including the limits of what Russia can and cannot do. America, by sharp contrast, emphatically does not. Our leaders on both sides of the aisle overwhelmingly cannot properly gauge our capacities and limits. They are unwise and do not have the humility to grasp the limits of their knowledge. This is the important distinction between Russia and America. One power knows its limits, while the other does not. Whether Carlson intended this or not, this was the most important takeaway of his recent interview with Putin, a lesson that American lawmakers and journalists should take seriously if there's any desire at all to retain their leadership position in the world. The thing is, though, they don't. We've been, over several decades and generations, America has been infiltrated by an enemy power. The deep state really is a criminal syndicate that wants to end America as we know it. They want to end our Constitution by bringing us to war and having us lose. I mean, why else would Biden and his so-called Homeland Defense Secretary Mayorkas open the border and let all these military-aged men from foreign countries across the southern border? Why would he let a Chinese spy balloon fly over the United States? Why else would he? I could go on. I just can't think of everything off the top of my head. But really, Biden is a national security threat. The Democrat Party is a national security threat, and we're finding out that Republicans are just the generals to the Democrats' globetrotters. They're just there to lose and pretend to put up a fight. So that's why MAGA is so important. That's why Donald Trump's movement is key to really saving America and really saving the free world. So Tucker Carlson is so powerful because he is independent now. He got fired from Fox because, not because of any supposed talk about election interference or false election fraud, but because BlackRock owned a very large stake in both Fox News and I think it was Dominion Voting Machines who sued Fox over all that. So it was the financial system, that financial institutions that really got Tucker fired. But in a way, he's free. He was always able to speak his mind on Fox because he had the Daily Caller to fall back on. He's one of the founding members of the Daily Caller. That was giving him plenty of financial support. So he could have left Fox at any time. He just built up his audience and street cred enough to build up his trustworthiness. And now that he's gone, the so-called, conservative outlet, which was really just controlled opposition, it's diminishing. I mean, it's not as bad as, NBC and CNN are failing, but they're all circling the drain. Now, coming to another, Gateway Pundit article. Was Russian opposition leader Navalny working with the CIA? Top aide of Putin critic was caught on video requesting $10 to $20 million from British spy to launch revolution. So you're not going to get this from, the network news. You're not going to get this from the Washington Post or the New York Times or MSNBC or even maybe you might get it from Fox. You might not. I don't know. I haven't watched Fox since the 2012 election, and I only occasionally read their articles on their website. But as reported earlier by Kristen Taylor of the Gateway Pundit, Russian democracy activist Alexei Navalny reportedly died in a Soviet-era gulag located north of the Arctic Circle on Friday, according to the Russian prison authority. Navalny leaves behind his wife, Yulia Navalnaya, and their two children. Navalny organized anti-government demonstrations and ran for office to advocate reforms against corruption in Russia and against Vladimir Putin and his government. But in 2021, Navalny was ordered to prison for 2.5 years. He reportedly fell ill and died while taking a walk. So my social media feeds, all on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, I guess X, are filled with mourners saying, oh, Putin's a monster. He let this happen to an opposition candidate. Totally ignoring that Biden is persecuting the rightful president of the United States, Donald Trump, with all these phony lawsuits. And hundreds of hostages are being held over January 6th. But thanks to alternative outlets like the Gateway Pundit, we have clues, signs, allegations that Navalny wasn't necessarily a opposition candidate. He was a fifth column in his own country, in Russia. So maybe Putin did have, you know, a reason to crack down on him. If it weren't for the alternative media, we wouldn't consider this. We wouldn't have questioned this. Another example of independent alternative media's power is James O'Keefe. You know, he got booted from Project Veritas, but Project Veritas is withering now without him. He started a new organization, O'Keefe Media. I can't remember, but he's doing fine. And he was able to, he's been able to break a lot of stories. One was, you know, I saw a video on Twitter. He was interviewing, he was disguised as a gay man. He was interrogating some members of Congress, not members of Congress, but their assistants, finding out, oh yeah, members of Congress have orgies. They have sex tapes. They've got blackmail on them, and they're made to vote certain ways. So there's that. And he's also got this done here. O'Keefe exposes nonprofit Nomas Muertes, likely facilitating cartel members' human smuggling to Phoenix, Arizona. Undercover journalist held at gunpoint. This is also from Gateway Pundit. So Gateway Pundit had been on the ball ever for so many years. It's like, I'm loving what they're doing here. So I don't know how they're doing financially, but they got to be doing better than Huffington Post or BuzzFeed. O'Keefe Media Group, that's it. And James O'Keefe released their latest video exposing No Más Muertes, which means no more deaths, a nonprofit and ministry of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Tucson for smuggling illegal immigrants from the border in Arizona. O'Keefe investigated the No Más Muertes compound at 36455 South Papalote Wash Road in Aravaca, Arizona. According to the No Más Muertes webpage, the group is dedicated to stepping up efforts to stop the deaths of migrants in the desert. The volunteers aid and abet illegal immigration by providing water, food, socks, blankets, and other supplies to illegals. Now, everyone says, oh, the church, the Bible says you got to be supportive of foreigners, welcoming, as if, you know, we got to allow illegal immigration. But I think the Bible also says foreigners need to obey the laws in whatever country they're in. So if they're not going through the security checkpoints, they're not legit. They don't mean as good things. So yeah, forget. Stop. We gotta stop them. Stay strapped and get clapped. But it just goes to show the power of independent journalism. We are the media now. Tucker, you know, built his clout through his own website. He was able to speak freely and build up his own, you know, brand that way. James O'Keefe has done the same thing. You know, he was able to do his guerrilla investigations, undercover work and exposés against all sorts of corruption ever since the Obama administration. And he's doing fine. Who's not doing fine? Paramount Global, the parent company of CBS. Paramount Global is laying off 800 employees just 2 days after bragging about record-breaking Super Bowl ratings. Now, I was kind of surprised that, yeah, the Super Bowl was the most watched one ever, but then someone pointed out that's because we've legalized sports betting across the nation. People had money riding on it, so okay, yeah. The author says, I guess the Taylor Swift Super Bowl wasn't enough to rescue CBS parent company Paramount from being the next in the long line of major entertainment corporations to make severe cuts. Just the day after breaking on their record-breaking Super Bowl audience, Paramount Global is laying off 800 of their employees. Paramount Global is laying off hundreds of employees, just one, okay. Sources say 800 employees, 3% of the company, will be informed of their layoffs beginning today, which was February 13th, so. If Elon Musk showed us anything with Twitter, it's that most of these companies can fire up to 80% of their employees and run even more efficiently. The author says, I'd start with any employee with DEI in their title if I was Bob. Bob being Bob Bakish, the CEO of the company. Joking aside, it sucks to lose your job. And all this comes from Paramount on the heels of what was likely the biggest money-making Super Bowl of all time. One of those victims was Catherine Herridge. This is from the New York Post. Catherine Herridge, an award-winning senior correspondent whose First Amendment case is being closely watched by journalists nationwide, was among the hundreds of employees at CBS Paramount who got pink slips on Tuesday, sources told the Post. The carnage provoked outrage from the rank and file at CBS, with some focusing their ire on Paramount Global CEO Bob Bakish, who pulled down $32 million in total compensation last year despite the company's ever-shrinking financial profile. Yeah, Paramount's been doing really poorly. I mean, they've run the Star Trek franchise in the ground. I think the only thing they've done right so far is in the last few years is Top Gun Maverick. But yeah, Catherine Herridge is one of the good guys. She's been an honest journalist. Why she still works for a corporate outlet, I don't know, but I bet Tucker can find some work for her, some paying work for her. Maybe hire her himself. Yeah, let's try saying that. But Catherine Herridge has street cred. She just needs to start her own blog, you know, maybe point her my way, and to my web design service, and start making money herself. You know, an individual working out of their spare bedroom or their basement with a fraction of a percentage of the overhead cost of one of these big outlets can do much better than these big outlets. I mean, Clownfish TV have been chronicling the demise of left-wing left-wing, you know, websites like BuzzFeed and the Huffington Post and, you know, Gawker and who else? All these left-wing media outlets have only been working on investor capital for so many decades, for so many years. The investor money is drying up thanks to the stock market crash, the dwindling stock market. And when I say stock market crash, I mean only 7 companies have really been driving the stock market growth over the last year, the Magnificent 7, as they call it. And they're all tech stocks. The FANG, the Apple, Amazon, Google, Meta, whatever. That tells you that the big money is supporting big tech and not the corporate media. The powers that be in the banking system, banking cabal, the Rothschild, whatever you want to call them, they're supporting tech companies and leaving the old media system behind. You know, Hollywood is circling the drain, corporate media is circling the drain, but big tech is rising. So anyone who wants to really make their money reporting the news, they need to go independent and utilize social media. And the best place to do that would be X or Twitter and Rumble and Odyssey, the ones that support free speech. Now, Another sign that the old media is dying, and a sign that, you know, the powers of be are losing their grip, is this from the New York Post. George Soros Fund poised to take control of nation's second largest chain of radio stations. This is scary. Now, the article says this is a scary development, but I see this as a sign that George Soros is running out of clout. I mean, George Soros is poised to take a massive stake in the nation's second largest radio company, which owns more than 220 stations nationwide, according to court filings and sources close to the situation. The left-leaning billionaire Soros Fund Management has brought up to $400 million of debt in Odyssey, the number two U.S. radio broadcaster behind iHeartMedia, with stations including New York's WFAN and 1010 Winds, as well as Los Angeles-based KROQ, according to bankruptcy filings. So yeah, Odyssey filed bankruptcy last month, and I guess Soros is buying up a bunch of shares. This could be a reaction to Nelson Peltz trying to get a board seat on Disney. I mean, a right-wing, you know, investor, businessman being countered by a left-wing investor, businessman. I mean, the fact that he's investing in radio, which is another form of old media, might mean that maybe he's running out of money. I mean, we know from in 2002 that George Soros didn't really make his money fair and square. He was convicted of insider trading in France, and I think a few other countries. Like, I think he's been banned in several countries for, you know, insider trading. He doesn't make his money fair and square. He makes his money from espionage and cheating with, you know, the powers be in the banking system, and probably through money laundering. I mean, podcasts like the X22 Report think that he actually gets money from maybe members of Congress or members of the government. They funnel money to him, and he's able to funnel that money to his non-government organizations and so-called nonprofit groups to support Democrat politicians. So it's another money laundering scheme. He's the just the same thing Sam Bankman-Fried was doing with FTX, but not through crypto. And now that Republicans and Patriots control the House of Representatives and control the government's purse strings, Soros is, his own money's drying up. So we've got investor money drying up in old left-wing media, right-wing media, and independent media, and moderate media is doing fine because they're supported, they're lean and mean, and they have a better business model. And big tech is on the rise. You know, that's where the money's going. Now, big tech can't censor everyone. I mean, some people, some voices do get through, and they do, they know how to grow thanks to social media sharing through SEO and through networking with friends and doing collabs with people who have similar mission. I see this a lot on YouTube. I see this a lot on X or Twitter, and you just gotta build up your network. People with more common sense are succeeding independently where the old media is failing. So really, we are seeing the end of one world and the rise of a new free speech paradigm. And to drive that point home, I guess I do have to come to a CBS News on their website. Trump Media's merger with DWAC gets regulatory nod. Trump could get a stake worth $4 billion. So Trump's media company, I think it's Digital World Acquisition Corporation, that runs Truth Social, and I think is partnered with Rumble. They're doing gangbusters. They're doing pretty good. Trump just made $4 billion, so that $340 million that he got charged by that bogus court case in New York, he can swing that. He wins. So Trump fraud verdict includes three-year ban on running a New York business. Well, New York Post says Trump's historic civil fraud trial ruling could spur a New York business exodus. So New York does not have a legitimate government. Like, Joe Biden's not the only one who stole an election. I mean, obviously, the officials and bigwigs, powers that be in New York also did it. So let's cheer up. We are finding things out. We are exposing the enemy. We're exposing how the enemy works. You know, like, share, and subscribe this video, this content, if you can, if you find it valuable. And I just want to let you know, things, the enemy is getting irrational. They're getting desperate. They're going to get more ruthless. But that just means that they're losing the grip. Things are not getting worse. They're getting exposed. And independent media is doing the exposing. So I will let you go. I'm a houseman. I'm Nate Houseman, letting you know it's okay to stand up for yourself. Over and out.